talked about this the previous Sunday, and we talked about the fact of the Lord Jesus Christ's return. We talked about the time when is he coming back, when the Lord Jesus Christ will come, and we also tried to look into the signs, because the signs of his return are very, very visible right now in our time, in our in our lifetime, and it's going to be, I believe, the Lord Jesus Christ will come when many of us will still be here on earth. That is very, doable. So I hope that many Christians, they hope that they will not see death and the Lord Jesus Christ will return. I think that is a blessing. If you will not experience physical death, you don't have that physical pain. But again, whether or not the Lord Jesus Christ will come during our lifetime, it doesn't really matter, because when we die in the flesh, we are not dead. We are sleeping in the sight of the Lord. So we talk about the signs of Christ's return, and then we will perhaps see the Bible reference about his coming. Matthew chapter 24, we'll jumpstart from here. Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25. These verses are big. I think there are 51 verses for 24, and there are also a lot of verses for chapter 55, but what we are going to see maybe, because it's long reading there, let's jump to Ephesians first. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse number 7 to verse number 12. I will read this. It's all time to start our Sunday school. Let us, I think that habit that to give reverence to the Word of God. Let's read this responsibly from verse number 7 up to verse number 12. Just a short reading here so we can start our lesson. I'll start reading verse number 7, you respond verse number 8 of Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ."
He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men.
Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth.
He that ascended, same also that ascended far up.
And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Forget verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Our Father in heaven, bless our Sunday school this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought us once again into this place of worship. Hallow this place, O God, and allow your people to be saturated with your presence and your spirit, and that, Lord, our hearts and minds are now ready to receive blessing from your word. Bless all of us this morning and give us victory throughout our day's activity. And thank you, Lord, for this Sunday school. I pray that this will be a helpful time for all of us to learn the doctrine of the return of Christ. Help me also as I deliver your word. Forgive us, Lord, of all our sins. Take away all our infirmities and cleanse us, O God, through your blood. We commit you our Sunday school this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Why we study Christ's return, the reason to that is because about one quarter of the Bible refers to the coming of Christ. That's why it's very visible there in the scripture, very visible in the Bible about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have time, read chapter 24, chapter 25 of Matthew. We will not read it here because there are a lot of verses involved, nearly 100 verses there. So, for the sake of time, do your own reading on these chapters, Matthew chapter 24 and 25. And the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, is a fact that will increase our desire to serve the Lord, to serve our God in winning people to the Lord and sharing the gospel and making disciples because of the imminence of His coming. Imminent, that means we do not know, maybe today. That is how close it is. And the situation that the Lord doesn't allow us to know when, that puts us, always on the alert. And now we are on the high alert, red alert. So, if there is a warning of red alert, and then you are sleeping, it is a foolish thing. It is a foolish thing to sleep in the time of alert. Alert, that means you have to be awakened, and your senses is always ready to respond to any circumstances. You must be alert. And that is what God wants us to do in here. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is imminent. We do not know when, but it's coming. So you have to be ready, because His coming will come like a thief in the night. So you do not know, because thieves will not call you, "Okay, I'm coming, get ready." They will not call you. They will just come in. And at any time, whether you are sleeping or awake, they are there. So, the coming of the Lord is really, it's really a good thing, so that it can enhance our desire to serve God. In 1 John chapter 2, verse number 28, you have to give account of your life, the Bible says there in verse 28, "And now little children abide in Him, and that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." So you have to do your diligence there, because the Lord Jesus Christ will come, as He said. But as good soldier, we must be ready. As a good Christian, we must also be ready. Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 to 4:4. Bible says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man coming." So that is the coming of the Lord. It's very interesting, because it makes us the more enthusiastic in this. That's why if I see Christian that is, shying away from the Word, I wonder why. Because the more I see these things coming, the more I get interested, the more I get, propelled and move forward, the more I go very enthusiastic in the ministry. And when I see Christians, it's like discouraged and not wanting to do anything with the Lord, it just amazes me, because how opposite it is to what really the time requires. Our time requires alertness. This time requires, energy. This time requires, it's like you're playing basketball. So you are guarding here, you're guarding this man, you're defending, and then you're watching the ball. At the same time, in the perimeter of your eyes, you are also like watching the surrounding, because there might be someone that will stop you from defending this person. So that is how Christian life is supposed to be. We are not going to sleep. Don't tell me that when your coach will say, "Okay, you go in, you substitute, you can take that person," and then you go there and sitting down, lying down, put your blanket there in the middle of the court. No, it's time to get up, it's time to change the ball. It's time to defend the... That is how it is in this Christian life that we have. Last night, I think, I don't know, maybe I slept around 3 o'clock. I finished my lesson, not really finished, because I will never be finished with my studies. If you give me another week to study for this, that week will be finished and still not ready. But again, that is the blessing of studying the Word of God, because you allow the Holy Spirit of God to work. So study to show thyself approved unto God, the workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But the more you know the Bible, the more you know that you do not know. The Bible is so deep. The Bible is so, you know, immense. The knowledge of God is so immense that if you think that you have arrived at the understanding of the Bible, you are a fool. Because you can never saturate the mind of God. Our thinking is so finite, very small. But God, you know, saturated his understanding throughout the universe. That is why this calls us also to humility to God. And Lord, I really do not know. I do not know. If your Holy Spirit will not help me, nothing can be done. And that is humility there. And that is where the Lord will work. If you think you are a good teacher, you will fall flat. Because this is not the understanding of man. This is the mind of God. Revelation 1:3. If you read this prophecy of the book, blessed are you. That is, you know, the conclusion of this. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So it tells us of ultimate victory for the Lord Jesus Christ and the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, this is why Satan doesn't want us to study and teach the Word of God. So hard to get up in the morning Sunday and going to church, and we do not know what to expect there. And you know, you sit and sit down and listen, and sometimes you feel sleepy. And Satan doesn't want you to get interested in the Word of God, because this can be a blessing to you, and you will be a useful, effective, and a very, very mighty servant of the Lord. And Satan doesn't want you to do that. And again, the second coming of the Lord encourages us in our trials that the spiritual war will soon be over. Time will come that the struggles that we have in this world, the hardship that we go through, the difficulties of life, the difficulties of relationship, the difficulties of, you know, earn a living. All of these things will all be over. And what really is expected at the end of this life, if you are a servant of God, is peace. That is what is expected. The Lord guarantees peace. And that peace is not just for a period of time. That peace is for all eternity, forevermore. So, let's jump after, you know, knowing this second coming of the Lord. Let us see the order of events in God's program. We'll show you the slide to see and what really there, what happened. Where are we now? Where are we now in our in this time of age? We are, do you have a pin light? No? I don't know where it's mine. Verse number one, you can see the cross, where a small cross there is supposed to be. Can you blow it up, brother? Find that number one. That is the church age where we are right now in this present time, we are at this church age, and if I'm not mistaken, the church age began with the apostles, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the apostles, and right now we are still in the church age, but we are at the last step, at the last or the ending of the end times. Those times when Jesus Christ arrived in the flesh, that was already the last days. That was already the end times. But right now, we are now at the tip of the end times. We are now here in this moment where all of these things will be unfolded before our eyes. And that is what we read in Ephesians 4:7. So, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And the seven churches that was revealed in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, they describe the church periods that this age is divided into. So there were seven churches there in the seven churches in Revelation, but actually that is the period of the church age, and it is commonly understood that right now we are the church of Laodicea, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You are neither cold nor hot. I cannot understand your devotion. I wish that you are cold so that I can identify it. Or I wish you are hot so that I may know it. But you are neither cold nor hot. And because you are neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." That is a sad thing. That is exactly the picture of the Christendom today. People will just taste a little bit of devotion and then lie low. And then go back again and then back out again. And then move forward again, then move backward again. And the Lord looks at that and says, "Oops, it seems like he's hot. Or it's like he's cold." The Lord cannot, you know, determine whether we are hot or whether we are cold. And God said, "Because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth." God will not accept our person. The only maybe thing that God will accept is if you are really devoted to him. If you are half-hearted along the way there, God cannot accept your service. So, those are the seven churches. Those are the churches existing in John's time. And the spiritual condition of any church at any time is depicted on that particular church. And I think we will go through that chapter of Revelation, because to give you an idea on what are these churches that the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned. I'll just read it myself and follow it right. Under the chapter 2, verse number 1. Revelation 2, 1. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, this thing saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them, which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick." The candlestick is the church. God said, "I will take away the church." So, "and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, This thing saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, This thing saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. For I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, This thing saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest not the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent for her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her, and I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the pieces of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I receive of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the chapter 3, verse number 1, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, This thing saith he, that are the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received, and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou hast not watched, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh the same, be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, this thing saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He that overcometh will make pillar in the temple of God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans, write, this thing saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So when, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with hyssop, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We are right here in this moment, the Laodicean church. We think that, you know, the Christians today, Christians, they are rich. They think that they have all things that they need. The technology there, the printing press, the multimedia. We have all the things that we need. We live in good houses. We live in luxury. We can have at any time. We can eat in good restaurants. At any time, we can sleep in good hotels. And our houses, we have full of good things. Exactly what the description of the Laodicean church. We are right now in this time of the Laodicean. This is the church age, the time beginning of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus himself. Started the ministry, started the church, and that was the beginning of the church age. Even though that was the beginning of the church age, that was the point in time where prophesied by Prophet Joel in the Old Testament, the last day that men shall prophesy, even their daughters and their sons will prophesy. And it happened in those days. But 2,000 years after, we are still in the last day. But right now, we are now at the tip or the end of the end days, end of times. We are now at the very ending of the last day. And that is the church age. The description of this last day, the description of this particular last day is Laodicea. We are not cold and we are not also hot. We want to stay in the middle. We want to, we don't want to show to the people that we are religious. We don't want to show to the people that we are devoted. We just want to be like anyone else. Everyone else wants to be like, to stay in the middle. Because if you become very devoted, people will like look down on you, mock on you. And if you also like, very far away from the church, very far away from God, you are also afraid of what's going to happen to you. So the best way, stay in the middle. Do not be too faithful. Do not also be too far away from God. And that is the picture of the churches of God today. The Christian today is pictured here as Laodicea. And this is the point in time where the people, the Christian people, are rich people. Is it here? Because thou sayest in verse number 17, I am rich. Wow, sometimes we think that the church age today is really rich, but actually that is poverty in the sight of God. Sometimes we have nice buildings and magnificent structures of a church, and we have maybe buses lined up there in our car parks, and our buses maybe will roam around the city and collect all these people and bring into this mega church. But in the sight of God, that is poverty. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Because God cannot be pleased, or cannot be, His judgment cannot be altered with the material position of Christians. Because in the first place, God owns them all. But if our heart is no longer in the devotion of the only true God, that will bring to us in this point of seemingly rich but poor. Seemingly provided with everything but wretched. Seemingly clothed with nice clothes but naked. Seemingly full of wisdom and understanding of surrounding but blind. What an opposite way that man looked into this, and God also looked on the other side, the opposite side of what man sees, what Christians see. We are now in this church age, and we are here in these last days, and most importantly, you have to understand where you are standing. We are now standing at the end of the end days. Supposing this table here, this lectern, the beginning of the last day started here 2,000 years ago with the Lord Jesus Christ and His disciples. Because it was prophesied by Joel. Behold, in the last days, your sons and daughters will prophesy. It was spoken here. It was fulfilled right here. That is why Apostle Paul thought in Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse number 16, he thought that he will be part of the second coming of the Lord, because it was already in the last day. He thought that the Lord Jesus Christ will arrive in his lifetime, because it was spoken by Joel and fulfilled right there. And because last days, they thought that it's going to finish there. But the last days, until today, is still the last days. But we are now at the tip of the last days, when the Lord Jesus Christ will arrive, everything will be finished. That is the church age. Lord willing, if the Lord will allow me, I will talk about the rapture. That is number two over there at the top. That is number two. So we have, you know, a bit of foundational understanding of the church age. Then we will talk about the rapture, right? So let's pray now for our closing. Our Father in Heaven, thank you, Lord, for this lesson about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are now in these last days, the ending of these last days. I pray, O God, that the realization of where we are right now in our life will enhance our devotion, will give us more interest in serving you, because we don't have much time. I pray for your people, Lord, that they will be awakened out of their sleep. I pray for each one of us, O God, to get involved in the work of the ministry, because we don't have much time. Bless, Lord, your people. Place that devotion, Lord, in their heart, the passion for the souls of men, that they also may share the gospel to others. And we will give glory unto your name. Bless all of us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a break.